On this episode of Tips from the Top Floor, we'll find out why I have a really difficult time to recommend a camera to Paul. This episode is supported by Jimdo.com, the amazingly quick and flexible way to build a professional website for your business or your personal projects. Show off your photography in style and build your website for free. If you want to upgrade, save 20% on your first year with the Pro and Business packages with discount code TOPFLOOR at jimdo.com/topfloor. That's jimdo.com/topfloor. And use checkout code TOPFLOOR. This is Tips on the Top Floor, episode 812 for Thursday, March the 1st, 2018.
Tips from the top floor, tips from the top, all right, from the top floor.
Hey, hello and welcome. It's Chris Marquardt here, coming to you from the Viewfinder Villa right outside the gates of Hanover in Germany. Photography time again. Let me see. You know how Tips from the Top Floor is kind of depends on your voicemails, and I'm always super happy if you record something and send it to me, and I and they are all amazing, all great, but sometimes it happens that there is a technical glitch of some sort. I recently received one that had so much noise in the background. It sounds like it was recorded of someone sitting on the back of a Harley Davidson. It's just illegible. Sometimes they are garbled because of some technical recording issue, and just a few days ago, Bob, I could hear your name in the beginning. I got your voicemail. You sent it through SpeakPipe, which is the orange tab directly on the website. But it was so garbled, there was some crackling and digital noise. I couldn't really hear what you said. It was definitely not usable for the show. It sounded like a technical problem with your computer. So maybe you can send that again. But again, the majority of the voicemails is great. I'll have a question by Paul later in the show. Every now and then something comes through that is almost, well, or that is not really usable. Even though I have a whole bunch of tools to try to clean up recordings, but sometimes it's just not as good. So I thought I'd give you a quick recording lesson, how to record the best sounding voicemails possible for Tips from the Top Floor.
Step 1. If you have the choice between recording on your computer and your smartphone, use the smartphone. It'll almost always sound better. Step 2. Find the Voice Memo app on your smartphone. If you have an iPhone, this is already pre-installed and it's called Voice Memos. If you're an Android, you might have one pre-installed, but if that is not the case, download one of the many free voice recording apps from the Google Play Store. I've put a couple of links in the description of this episode. Step 3. Find a somewhat quiet place. Turn off the noisy air condition, hit the record button on your app, then hold the phone as if you were making a phone call and begin talking. Holding the phone that way will make sure that your breathing noises don't interfere with a good sound. And finally, step 4. When you're done, send the recording as an email to voice@tfttf.com. Oh, and by the way, most important, don't worry about how you sound. Most people, when they hear themselves for the first time on a recording, think they sound funny. That's perfectly normal. I also initially didn't like my own voice. That's just because you normally hear yourself from inside your head, and that just sounds different than from the outside. Trust me, your voice sounds just fine, and I have many tricks up my sleeve to make you sound even better.
This episode is supported by Masterclass. Imagine learning design and architecture from Frank Gehry, or filmmaking from Martin Scorsese, or photography from Annie Leibovitz. Well, now you can with Masterclass. Masterclass produces online classes taught by the best in the world. You get to choose from classes taught by over 30 masters across a wide range of fields, such as writing, cooking, film, acting, photography, and many more. All beautifully produced and carefully curated. Whether you're pursuing your passion, developing your career, or just looking to learn something new, Masterclass gives you access to the best at their craft, so you can master yours. Now, I'm sure most of you would be interested in the photography side, but maybe you're interested in more than one class? Check out the All Access Pass. With the new All Access Pass, you can unlock every class from over 30 masters, all for the price of two. And friends of the Top Floor can get the All Access Pass at masterclass.com/topfloor. Learn from the best in the world at masterclass.com/topfloor. masterclass.com/topfloor. This episode is also supported by Jimdo.com. Jimdo is the one-stop shop for you to build your website, no matter if for your business, for a personal project, or for your blog, or even your photography portfolio. It's also one of the fastest ways for you to get started without any prior knowledge. Just choose one of the professional designs, upload your photos and copy, and but that's it, no third step. But it's not just your own website. You can easily add a shop. And if you are in the EU, that is even legally compliant with your local laws. It's simple to add a blog. And I've even seen people use Jimdo to post their own podcasts. You don't need to learn HTML or CSS. It's WYSIWYG, just point, click, and it's done. What you see is what you get, and it supports a mobile-first approach. So your site will look amazing on all sorts of screen sizes, from your smartphone up to a big desktop computer. And you don't even need a computer to build your website. You can do everything right from their app on your iOS or Android smartphone. To get started, you can build a free Jimdo website, and you can keep that free site. But then if you want to enable full features and get your own custom domain and email address, their pro package comes at just €5 a month. That's about half off the price of major competitors. And not just that, Jimdo has also cut a special deal for all you friends of the Top Floor. If you use code TOPFLOOR in checkout, you get 20% off your first year of Jimdo Pro or Jimdo Business. Go to jimdo.com/topfloor to find out more. And to get 20% off your first year of Jimdo Pro or Jimdo Business, that's jimdo.com/topfloor. Offer code TOPFLOOR in checkout. Thank you so much for the support.
Hi, Chris. This is Paul from Frimley Green in Surrey in the UK. I've got a film gear question for you. My grandmother passed away recently and left me a little bit of money. She was always a great supporter of my photography, so I wanted to get something special as a sort of memory of her. Having read your film photography handbook, which is excellent by the way, I decided I'd like to invest in a quality film camera and a lens or two, and I've got about £1,500 to spend. I shoot a bit of everything with my digital camera, but with the film camera, I'd be looking probably to focus on portraits and still life and cityscapes. My initial thought was maybe I could afford a Leica, but I don't know much about the different models. Some seem to be in my price range and others seem to be way, way more expensive. I was also wondering about then going for maybe medium format, shooting 120 film with a Hasselblad 500 or 503, or maybe Bronica or Mamiya. Then I read about some Nikon FM2N and FM3A 35mm cameras. The advantage here being that sort of lenses and equipment and accessories would be more affordable than, say, the Leica. So I was wondering what you would spend £1,500 on if you were in my shoes looking for a quality piece of film camera equipment to use on special occasions. Be interested to hear what you had to say. Thanks, Chris. I love the podcast and keep it up. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks, Paul. First of all, amazing, awesome that you're thinking of spending that money on film gear, because that will certainly change your photography. It will certainly change your photographic universe. And that's what it did for me. And I know a lot of other people who dove into film photography who came out on the other end, either never leaving it then or coming out on the other side being like just a better photographer. So it's a bit of a difficult question, because if you look around the film photography universe, there's an amazingly broad range of cameras, and they are all very, very different. Do you want to go 35 millimeters? The Leica is a great choice. The Nikon FM2 that you already researched is definitely a great choice. But for me, one of the big draws of film was that I had access to the bigger formats, to the medium format and eventually large format, but I do not want to push you there because that's its own different universe. But those bigger formats, you know, I was coming from 35 millimeters and having seen some medium format photography, I knew that the different look, the different kind of possibilities you have with depth of field, and the different way the sharpness fall off into the depth of field happens with medium format. It's just special. It's something really special. It looks just amazing. So my first medium format camera was a Mamiya 645. And I got this from an event where a used camera market kind of thing. And that in the name 645 is the frame size of 6 centimeters by 4.5 centimeters or 60 by 45 millimeters, and we should call that the small medium format. Then if you look at the Hasselblads, they shoot 6 by 6 centimeters. There are cameras like the Pentax 67, as the name suggests, it shoots 6 by 7 centimeters, and there are cameras that go up to 6 by 9 centimeters and even bigger frames. And all of these cameras have different personalities. Yeah, I think that's the word. They feel different. Some are more finicky, but they give you amazing results. Some of them are workhorses that are a bit more utilitarian that you couldn't break if you tried. Some have just lovely haptics when using them, which will reflect in the way you use them and the way you shoot. And so on and so on. Some have top-down viewfinders. Some have a prism, like an SLR. Some, like the Rodiflex, have two lenses in the front. We call them TLRs, twin lens reflex cameras. And all of them are very different. And if you shoot portraits, which is one of the things you want to do, people in front of the camera will react to those different cameras in different ways. People will feel very different if you aim at them with a big, heavy, let's say a Mamiya RB67, which is a tank, than if you use like a very delicate, smart, smaller, much more silent Leica M3, which is a 35mm cameras. And different people need different cameras in front of them. That's at least what I'm convinced of. Some people you can get at them with a huge, big beast of a camera, and some are easily scared, and then you might want to go for a smaller camera. So we're talking about this huge broad range, this huge universe, and all those cameras are so very, very different that I'm a bit hesitant to point you towards a specific camera here. I think it's impossible. But here's how I would approach this. When I bought my first medium format camera, which was the Mamiya 645, it cost me about 150 euros, which included an 80mm lens, a hand grip, a top-down viewfinder, and a prism viewfinder. And that was a decent deal, but you can get stuff in that range to get started. And I used that camera for quite a while just to learn how to do proper light metering and how to shoot medium format and to work through the intricacies of that kind of photography. And then the next film camera I got, I don't even remember, I think it was the Voigtländer Besser, a 6x9 medium format camera, which has a folding bellows, so you can fold it really nicely small, smallish, but you fold it up, the bellows slides out, and then you have this camera with just a great range. And 6x9 medium fat format is huge compared to anything 35mm. I think that one I got as a gift from my friend, but if you wanted to buy one of those, they usually go for under $100. So that's, again, far below the $1,500 that you have available to you. And then over time, I got a bit of a collection of film cameras, and all, again, have their different personalities, and I use many of them for different purposes. Some are better for portraits, some I like more for some architecture landscapes. Even, by the way, a plastic Holger, the toy camera with this plastic lens, which is, by the way, a 6x6 medium format camera like the Hasselblads. It has its own personality. And it makes pictures that feel a specific way that is hard to kind of reproduce with other cameras. So I do have a few favorite cameras, but I won't really go over that list because that's, well, on the one hand, it's a personal thing, but okay, I would spill that for you, no problem. But that won't really help you because you will, very likely, you will come to like different cameras, other cameras. It's a bit like if you ask me what my favorite food was, I could tell you, but your taste will probably be very different. So, of course, you could spend the entire $1,500 on, let's say, a 35mm Leica M3 with a great Summicron lens, but chances are you'll find out that that's not the right camera for you. And I had to do a bit of a journey and get started with something at a lower price just to find out over time what is the right thing for me. There's no one-size-fits-all here. And some cameras just lend themselves to different types of people. So my suggestion is if you have $1,500 earmarked for film gear, put that money somewhere safe. Start with one camera, but don't go expensive right away. Okay, here's my recommendation. Get a used Mamiya 645. They come with without a light meter. They come with some have a prism with a light meter built in. I would even go and learn to meter manually or with a smartphone app. Plenty good. That's a great starting point. It's not too expensive. And it'll get you into medium format film without breaking the bank, without you having to worry if you made a mistake, because if it doesn't work out, then that's not a huge loss. And then take it from there. And then over time, find out what works for you and if that's the thing that you want to do. And by the way, don't take my word for it. Another great spot to get some advice is the TFTTF Slack. Our Slack, we have channels for almost everything, including a channel called Film Photography, Film-Photography, that has a great bunch of people in it who I'm sure would be more than happy to talk you through some of the cameras on the market. And if you want to join, go to tfttf.com/yslack, WHYSLACK, and Russ will be happy to get you on board. And that was it for this episode of Tips from the Top Floor. Thanks again for your support, and thanks to Jimdo.com for supporting this episode. I'm, by the way, in the middle of preparing to get back on the Nordelicht. That's the ship that Monica and I went on last year in May, and that's where I also met Mario, the guy who I'm recording Curiously Polar with. And I will be on that to sail around, well, we were on that to sail around Svalbard, which is again this archipelago near the North Pole, and I'll be back on it in just a few days when they sail from northern Norway up to Svalbard. Not a photo tour, but just me hanging out with friends and having a good time up there. Almost a desert island up there. It's just more of an ice desert. I will also pre-record some episodes for you, of course, so you won't have to starve while I'm gone. And I promise to bring some audio and video and, of course, photos when I come back. So stay tuned for that while I'll soon fall off the map on social media for a while. Music for the show by Jeff Smith, sound partner Hans-Peter Kagerud, publishing and Slack challenges by Ridley Spixie, Matt Rafsadar Armstead, Slack invitations by Chief Invitation Officer CIO Rusty Russ. My name is Chris Marquardt. Follow me on Facebook and on Twitter at Chris Marquardt. That's Chris, MARQUARDT. And of course, go out and take amazing photos, be nice to each other, and happy shooting.